Please sit down. Well, I don't know about good looking, but another bald guy. The fast pace of the past few weeks has finally caught up with me, so my body's under the weather today.
Sorry.
I'm not the only pastor in this house who's feeling under the weather today. Pastor Lanny couldn't make it today, but he sends his love to all of you. And I'm glad to see Patty here today. Hello, ma'am. Well, today is an Encounter Sunday, and it's kind of a unique Encounter Sunday for us. If this is your first time here, could you raise your hand? All right, welcome this morning. Glad to have you all here. Just for general awareness, our Encounter Sundays don't tend to go the way our normal Sundays do. This tends to be that on the first Sunday of the month, we set aside time specifically to see what the Lord's going to do, to reach in and reach out to the Lord and say, Lord, we're looking and open for a new encounter with you. Now, that's not to say he can't do anything on any given Sunday, but this is time that we set aside expecting that we're going to see something new from him. So it's not the normal type of service setup, but today I'm going to do a little bit more teaching than I tend to do on Encounter Sundays because I think it's warranted for the month that we're in. How many of you are aware that we are in a month of prayer and fasting? Raise your hands. Very, very good. Our new communications director is doing a great job communicating. By the way, I am so thankful to have Jessica with us in this role. She has really transformed our communications and been getting the word out effectively to you. Please, if you don't read your email, MailChimps, or the Facebook page, or all the other different ways that she's communicating with you, please open those up because it's effective communication and it helps you know what's going on here in the house. How many of you saw the prayer wall in the lobby this morning when you walked in? Woo! If you weren't here last week, I'll explain what the prayer wall is. The prayer wall is meant to be a community space for us to be putting up things that we are praying about, prayer requests that we have, impressions that we're having as we're praying. If you're an artist and you want to put a little picture on there of something that you've seen as you've been praying or the Lord is leading or guiding you, please do it. It is a place for us to collectively have a memorial of prayer during this month of fasting. And on the wall there are the four main areas that Pastor Lanny has been led by the Lord to lead us into praying over as we are in fasting this month. So please, whenever our doors are open, there's Sharpie markers over there, and just put something on the wall. It's a place where we can come together and pray and share what we are praying about. So I'm excited to see what God is going to be doing in and through that. So today, we're talking about what it is that the Lord is after in this month that we're going into. Now, we have an encounter service today, which is at the beginning of this month of prayer and fasting, and we will have an encounter service at the end of this month as we go into March. And I've been feeling like the Lord is saying that these are going to be bookend events for what is taking place here. Fasting is not meant to be drudgery. Say that again. Fasting is not meant to be drudgery. And when we as a community of believers come together in times of prayer and fasting, the Lord is setting up, as I talked about last week, it's like a spiritual nuclear bomb. We are coming together with focus on what the Lord is leading us to, and that becomes a time of celebration. Because we're praying for our nation, we're praying for reconciliation, we're praying for our leaders, we're praying for increased healing anointing, and we're praying for healings that need to be taking place among us. Many of us suffer from chronic conditions, many of us are suffering from various ailments, and the Lord wants to heal those things. So we're coming together and calling on his grace and asking for him to purify us and open us up to move through us in bigger and better and greater ways, in ways that only he can release in us. So, I want to talk about what is it that Jesus called us to do in his ministry and when he released us right before he was going into heaven. Do you remember that he sent out the 12 while he was training them? In Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, it says this. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you have left that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people. The gospel and healing and signs accompany one another. And you see that pattern throughout Jesus' ministry. He was there proclaiming the good news, but signs followed. If you look in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 8, this is an account of the same time. You know, the synoptic gospels follow the same patterns. They're talking about the same things. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they follow the same pattern. So here's how Luke talks about it. It says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. It goes on to talk more in there about staying in people's homes and being in villages and what to take with you and all of that. And what's important to recognize is that Jesus is putting his disciples at a place of physical weakness. He told them, don't take extra shirt. Don't take any money with you. Don't worry about where you're going to stay. Don't do any of that stuff. Don't even take a staff with you. You don't have protection. You don't have provision. You don't have any of those things. He's saying, I'm putting you out into a place of discomfort where everything that you would normally use that would stabilize you is now gone. And I'm sending you as strangers into strange land. And now you're going to be completely dependent on me to show up for you in the midst of that. What did Paul tell us? In my weakness, he is what? He's strong. This is faith in action. Faith in action is coming under the Lord. Remember when Sam was here and he talked about the substance. I'm standing under God with expectancy that he is going to do the thing that he is going to do, and I can trust him. Can trust him to do it. He's sending me out. I can trust him to do what he said he's going to do through me. In John 20, 21 through 23, this is right before Christ goes into heaven. He says, again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So when he meets them there in the upper room, they receive him. It's the moment they get saved, by the way, because previously when they'd been following him around, he hadn't died on the cross yet. So they just became Christians that day. And he breathes on them. And what does he do? He sends them out to reconcile men to God. He said, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And that is the same thing that he does to each and every one of us. Not just pastors, not just ministry leaders, each and every one of us who would call on the name of Jesus and be saved, he sends us as he was sent. To reconcile men to God. Where am I going with all of this? Talked about healing. Now we're talking about forgiveness. There's a story about the paralytic whose friends brought him to Jesus. Do you remember this story? And they're having a meeting in a house, and Jesus is teaching and he's preaching, and these guys carry their buddy up on top of the roof and they're scraping through the ceiling, right? It's not like, all of a sudden the ceiling opened and everything fell in, right? Didn't happen instantaneously. They had to work at that thing. Don't you think the people that were sitting in that room could hear them up there scraping and everything to get this guy in through the ceiling? Come on. This is real life. And they lower him down on this mat. And Jesus, seeing their faith, tells him what? No, he didn't tell him rise up and walk. He said, your sins are forgiven. Because the primary thing that God is after is forgiving our sins. It's restoring us to our relationship with our Father. It's not about healing our ailments. He does that, but that is not his primary purpose. Amen. The greatest healing that we can receive is restoration to our Father. It's salvation. That is why he came. And in the midst of time and space, in the midst of our physical world, he chose also to heal our sicknesses and heal our infirmities because he cares about us. We are both spirit and body. When Jesus came, he was both spirit and body. He can identify with both aspects of us. And he came to save our souls, to restore us to our Father. But he also, in that action, brings healing. Praise God. Praise God. No, he said, your sins are forgiven. And everybody went, huh? He said, what? Who can forgive sins but God? Thank you. I'm going to put this right here before my fingers burn. Who can forgive sins but God? And Jesus says, what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say to get up and walk? But so that you'll believe that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins, rise, take up your mat and walk. And he did. The healing took place to affirm and confirm that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. It comes to confirm the message. It confirms the messenger. Because he is who he says he is, he has the ability to forgive sins, and he has the ability to bring healing to the physical body. So when he says, so as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you, he's telling us, go into the world, preach the good news, reconcile men to God, and these signs will follow those. Here it is in Mark 16. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. This is the exact same model that Jesus demonstrated. Remember, Jesus said, it's better that I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit here. And Jesus was one man, but he multiplied. His body is made up of all of us who believe in his name and follow him. And now he's reaching throughout the world by his spirit through those who are his sent ones, and that is us. So we're called to heal the sick. We're called to cleanse the lepers. We're called to raise the dead. And we don't always see those things taking place. And oftentimes I don't think we believe that that's what's supposed to happen through us because we realize we're not strong enough to do that. I don't know how to do that. Remember, in our own weakness, that's where he's made strong. It's not about what you have. You have empty hands. You don't have what it takes to heal people. But he has you. And he has what it takes to heal people. He has what it takes to speak into someone's life and bring words of life in the midst of darkness. He has the ability to come and restore souls. He has the ability to reconcile men to their Father, and he sent us to carry those messages. You carry the message, you are the messenger, and he wants to confirm through his word, through you, that he is who he says he is. So today we're going to be doing some healing, because many of us need it. But we're not just starting with healing. We're not just starting with laying hands on the sick. We're going to ask the Lord for, what is it that you want to heal today, Lord? What is it that you want to do? And I'm not just asking our prophetic team to ask those questions. You are a prophetic people. You have the Spirit of God in you. And He speaks to you, and He wants to speak through you. Peggy, would you just stand and raise your hand? Again, some more housekeeping for today. How many of you knew that we have a prophetic team? How many of you knew that we have a prophetic lead of that prophetic team every Sunday? How many of you don't know where that prophetic lead is on any given Sunday? And you can raise your hand if you don't know where that is, and that's okay. The prophetic lead sits right in that spot that Peggy's in. Every Sunday it rotates. And as you are praying and as you are asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do today? What do you want to heal? And it could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual, it could be whatever it is that the Lord lays in your heart. Bring that to Peggy. She's going to gather those words together. And she's going to share them with me. She'll probably also share them with the prophetic team so they can pray over them. But as you minister prophetically, your job is only this: to deliver the word that you have been given. Once you hand that off to Peggy, your responsibility is done with it. Okay? It may get shared, it may not be shared. Don't be offended one way or the other. Your job is to just honor the Lord and say, Lord, I believe this is what you're telling me. I'm going to go at risk with you today because I'm weak and you're strong, and I'm going to deliver that thing and see what happens with it, because somebody may be healed because of that. We may have released grace into the atmosphere for that thing to take place. You might say, man, I feel like somebody's knee needs healing. Oh, okay, I'll write that down. Maybe it's a knee. And somebody gets their knee healed. We may have two or three people get words for knees. You never know. We see in part, we prophesy in part. And God does what He does. Today I'm feeling weak. And that makes me excited. It makes me excited. I woke up this morning dragging myself out of bed. Oh, man. But when we are weak, He is strong. His grace shows up. Because He lets us know, you don't got this. I got this. We're praying for our nation. We're praying for reconciliation. We're praying for increased anointing here among us. We're praying for healings to take place among us, for the anointing and the results. And that's what we're pressing into this month. We are pressing in. We're pressing in, and we should begin to expect to see God do what He says He's going to do. We have people that have already been fasting this month. We've had our prophetic team already meeting. This morning we were praying before this service. Friday night there was a watch here to start to set this, lay the groundwork and set the seeds for what God's going to be doing here today. We've had people praying over this service. We've been coming together. We preached last week about this time of prayer and fasting we're coming into, because God is laying the groundwork and He's going to raise our levels of expectancy to see Him, because we know we are weak. We know we're weak, and we know He is strong. We were singing this morning songs about His goodness, His greatness, because He is good, He is great. And in the midst of darkness, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of some of the pain and challenges that many of us have been going through in these past several weeks, God is here to show up, to show that He loves us, to show that He cares about us, to show that He is our rescuer. Not just for this morning, but He is our rescuer in our lives. He is sending us into the world because He wants people to know Him. He wants people to know him in their hearts. He wants people to know that he is there. He is capable, more than capable, of healing their sicknesses and their diseases because he loves them, because he is a good, good father. And he is sovereign. He is sovereign. We don't know why all the things that happen happen the way they do, but we know that he is the one who holds all of it in his hands, and we will see his goodness. Wait on him, because we will see his goodness. We're going to go back into a time right now of worship. And I want to say this. When we are at our weakest moment, and we choose to raise our hands and surrender to God and say, "We love you. I don't understand, but I love you. And I'm here to tell you that you are a good, good father. And that my life is in your hands." And we lift our voices in worship to him in the depths of our pain. That is sacrifice. There is pain in the offering. And when we lay that down before him, watch to see what he brings. He is good. He is good. He is not a tame lion, but he is good. Praise you, Jesus. Join with me. We're going to worship here for another few songs. If you get impressions on anything, please bring it to Peggy. It may be that element. It may be that straw that breaks the camel's back, and the healing is released for someone.